Wake up, sleepyheads. This is CJSF 90.1 FM.
And you're tuning in to Slumber Party. This is CJSF 90.1 FM Burnaby, community radio from Simon Fraser University. Burnaby is located on the ancestral and stolen homelands of the Halkomelem and Squamish-speaking peoples.
You can listen online at cjsf.ca or on our radio app, which you can download from the app or Google Store, depending on your device. Keep up to date on our social media at linktree/cjsfradio and learn more by visiting our website, cjsf.ca. Welcome, everybody. This is Slumber Party, and I'm DJ Coco.
And I am DJ Star.
Today, we are also joined by a special guest. So, this is Siobhan. So, say hi.
Hi, I'm Siobhan.
That was an order, too.
That was a complete order. But anyways, as per last week, we started going into the Riot Girl genre. And as promised, we are going to dive more into the Vines.
The zines.
Oh my, I said I wouldn't
we had a conversation before this, like, yeah. How do we pronounce it, and that was pretty far
okay,
off.
Okay. the zines and the controversy, and yeah, we're just gonna do also a little Canadian Riot Girl band review as well a little bit, but that'll be for later on. But we're gonna start off with a pretty classic Riot Girl band to start with. So this first one is called Swamp Pussy by Babes in Toyland from their album Spanking Machine. So take a listen.
Attention, woman in science, technology, engineering, and math. Whether you're a seasoned professional or just starting on your journey, the Society for Canadian Women in Science and Technology is here to support you every step of the way. From mentorship programs to networking and skill-building events, we've got the tools and resources you need to succeed and thrive in STEM. Visit squist.ca to learn more. That's SCWIST.ca. We can't wait to connect with you.
hair is short. Her legs are brown. Her lips are full. Her head hangs down.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, and you're tuning into Slumber Party. So the last song you just heard was Blue Angel by Slant 6 from their album Soda Pop Rip Off.
And the song you heard before that was Boot by Tamar Cowley. And she is one of the founders of Sista Girl Riots, which we will talk about later.
And then the one also right before that one was Face Down by Huggy Bear. And so that was some pretty classic 1990s Riot Girl. So as kind of per requested and noted on before.
Requested by who?
I don't know, but we're going to dive more into Riot Girl as a music genre. So just to recap what Riot Girl is. So this is kind of like it's a feminist punk movement that originated in the Pacific Northwest in USA, so specifically Washington, D.C., in the 1990s. So kind of combines politics, feminism, and music. And the name as well, Riot Girl. Girl is supposed to be like a war cry, like a growl, mm-hmm. and riots are strong.
Because it's spelled with three R's, like girl, mm-hmm. girl. And also, they specifically use the word girl to combat, like, it was a very intentional decision because of the patriarchal connotations that are typically associated with the word girl, like being weak, disempowered, not being very autonomous. And as well, it allowed girls in high school and university who didn't necessarily consider themselves to be women yet and just were still girls to fight the oppression as like fully fledged activists and feminists, which was, I thought, pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. And so some of more of the songs as well for Riot Girl, they usually criticize things like sexuality and talk about racism, anarchism, misogyny, heteronormativity. But it was more as well for these topics. It was so incredible for Riot Girl as a genre because it was at a point in time in the 1990s when the punk scene, like the punk movement, was very, very known as male dominated and aggressive. So it was pretty revolutionary to see a bunch of young women actually enter into the scene and kind of voice their own opinions and find a place to be comfortable with. And so they kind of banded together to form this Riot Girl kind of subculture that didn't just encompass music, but was also things like the zines as well and style. And it even went, I think, into like skateboard culture as well. But yeah, it was pretty monumental kind of underground movement that moved. But
yeah, especially because there was a lot of sexual harassment and assault as well that was very common at punk venues. A lot of mosh pits, you know, there's like massive guys who are just trying to get their anger out as much as possible, like pushing women to the sidelines. And that kind of made women like, wait, why are we on the sidelines? Like, yeah. We deserve our own thing. But something interesting that the original like mainstream punk was pretty oppressive towards women, but then also punk intrinsically has a very like do-it-yourself nature, which actually enabled girls and young women to access like learning an instrument that isn't associated with femininity, like the violin or, I don't know, the piano or something. So mm-hmm. something that's a bit counterculture in itself, I guess, is punk allowed women to learn how to play like bass or drums or guitar with a pretty open mind, yeah. in that sense.
And having, yeah, punk being such like an angry music type, it was, anger is pretty much associated with masculinity, especially in our cis heteronormative society, which is kind of a big word, but it is true. And yeah, having women go into these like bass guitars and drums and things that normally women are supposed to be more vulnerable and they're supposed to be coming more timid and play instruments like the piano or the violin that are more on the softer side, but having actually embrace being bold and loud was unheard of at the time and kind of grew as a movement. So
yeah, that was like a big key thing with Riot Girl, is that they're claiming these traits of independence, autonomy, being rebellious and assertive that are typically associated with a masculine person or experience, while also like celebrating aspects of girlhood that aren't really shown in the mainstream media a lot.
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of punk music wouldn't really touch into things like misogyny, for example. I don't
Definitely not.
So, or like female sexuality or being like political and talking about having control over your own body and being pro-choice and things like that. So they targeted stuff that was necessary to be mentioned.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, like, I think it was great that it helped women feel more comfortable in the punk scene, especially how male-dominated it was at the time, because I couldn't even imagine walking into a room full of guys and then having to voice my opinion on something that usually only guys talk about.
Yeah.
And then being respected on that. So,
especially in a world where it's pretty much just based on relationships between men, respecting each other and admiring each other and just building each other's egos up.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a hard place to fit yourself in as like a punk girl.
Yeah.
And something about the social environment at the time in the 90s is that this word post-feminism was very popular, which is pretty much just implying that all of feminism and its goals were pretty much completed and we're living in a world post-feminist, which is, it was not true then, and like definitely not true now either.
Mm-hmm.
So that led to a lot of unhappiness for women who were pretty much silenced by the use of this word. I think that's part of what like led to the Riot Girl movement, is just like, okay, there's still issues that we need to talk about and need to address. We can't just say we live in a post-feminist world when we're still all experiencing these horrible things at the hands of the patriarchy.
Exactly. So. Bringing up the patriarchy word.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, some of the, and then as well to back up, so some of the more prominent bands for Riot Girl, they were usually inspired from the 70s, 80s rock, punk, metal, like encompassing multiple music genre female artists. So two of them, like the Slits, or my personal favorite is Joan Jett and the Blackhearts. But there were some prominent bands, so this included Bikini Kill, La Tigra, Heavens to Betsy, Bratmobile, Luna Chicks. We're gonna play La Tigra song after too, because they're awesome. But
mm-hmm.
Yeah, those were kind of the big bands for it. But as well for Riot Girl, we also talked about how there are zines, and there was a big zine culture as well.
Mm-hmm. There is like a huge history behind zines in general.
Oh, I said it wrong. You didn't even mention.
I tried to give you the side eye.
No, just tell me.
Anyways, so yeah, there is like a huge history of zines in. I think there was even roots in the abolitionist movement for slavery was actually like way back there too. And then building up to it, there was like women's health, sexual health. There was a lot of pamphlets kind of distributed in the way that zines were. But basically it is just a mode of self-expression and creativity
mm-hmm.
for a lot of people. And it's like a way to build community, and they're basically just like pamphlets, just little things that you write poems, you can rant in it, it's kind of like a diary. There's collaging, there's all these different multimedia aspects of it, but it's distributed just like person to person most
of
the time.
It's like the official definition is not official, but it's like a pamphlet like publication. So yeah, it has the text, the images, the artwork, but the idea originated from the 1930s, but gained popularity from the 1950s and 1970s. And then Riot Girl took the elements of that. And so they kind of made their zines. I said it right this time. They took their zines, and it was always characterized with really bright colors. And it had like sketch show drawings and emphasis on kind of more feminist quotes, I'd say. It was like very scratchy letters and bold language. And they're usually, I think they're created by hand, but then they would photocopy them and distribute them.
Mm-hmm. And they're largely used as a tool for like self-representation for groups that aren't really accurately or like accurately represented in the media, or even oppressed in mainstream media or suppressed in some way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like these socially marginalized communities could actually have a voice and publicate mm-hmm. their stuff, so.
And for Riot Girl specifically, like, it's a good space to have as a young woman to be, you know, like a writer, designer, artist, poet, just any kind of form of self-expression that you're motivated by the self-expression and not necessarily the profit. So there is a freedom that comes with that, which you can critique and expose the mainstream, which in this sense a lot of Riot Girls were critiquing the heteronormative patriarchy and capitalism, mm-hmm. and like our hierarchical system of everything. So
yeah. The only not really problem but kind of an issue was that these zines were created by primarily the demographic of Riot Girl followers, which was young, urban, middle class, white, young woman. And so the production of these zines, I feel like they'd be pretty time consuming and costly, and especially that most of these were handed out for free. So it kind of barred low income people from participating, and especially of women of color facing intersectionality of being low income themselves, usually more often. And so that's kind of leads into our next discussion of the controversy of Riot Girl, but I think we are going to go into that later. But also, side note, I would really like to make my own zines. I think they're sick, like genuinely sick.
Yeah, they're so cool. We should
we have our own zine. I keep saying that wrong.
I mean, whatever. At this point, it's just kind of like, you guys know what we're talking about.
But yeah, we have our own zine. I think it was created 2 years ago, but it is awesome. We still have a couple copies, so I like looking at that from time to time. But yeah, definitely going to try to make my own zine at some point. Mm-hmm. I know that DJ Star does some collages, which is kind of similar.
Yeah, I think I could definitely incorporate that.
Yeah, because what's the difference between the collage and
Think collaging can be an aspect of zines, but it can be pretty much whatever you want as long as it fits onto paper in some way.
Right.
So you can like draw, you can take photos and then print it out there, or like do a poem or something.
Okay. So great tip.
Yeah.
Great tip. Okay. Anyways, we are gonna take a break and play some more Riot Girl for you.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be talking about the controversy next in a little bit, so stay tuned for that. But we are gonna start off this time with,
we're gonna go into Ode to Bedroom Dancing by Le Tigre, and this is fronted by also one of the main members of Bikini Kill. So Bikini Kill was a big, also a big band that kind of pushed Riot Girl forward. So yeah, it's a good song.
Enjoy.
Time for me to act. Tune in to Intravenous on Wednesdays from 10 to 11 a.m. for music and talk radio about all things, all genders. Discussing and approaching contemporary gender issues through an intersectional feminist lens, our goal is to educate, engage, and challenge the dominant hegemony. Intravenous, every Wednesday morning from 10 to 11, only on CJSF 90.1 FM. Diverse, independent, yours.
Welcome back. This is CJSF 90.1 FM, and you are tuning in